This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you misunderstood
that!
Misunderstood.
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? Well, just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this post-World Series edition of the Bleacher Bums. I'm one part of your team, Jimbo, here. Let's welcome into the big guy himself, Jono. What's happening, bud?
What's going on, guys?
And then, of course, we got the man himself, Fish, in. What's up, bud?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just happy to be here this morning.
Well, we have a winner, and I do want to say, too, before that, congratulations to the Cubs, obviously, but we had a lot of people that really enjoyed the show that we did, and that was the brainchild of my man next to me here had the great idea to interview a real Cubs fan, which I thought was great, that was knee-deep in it in Cleveland, and you guys really enjoyed that. So we may try to do some more stuff like that in the future. But as far as the World Series itself, guys, let's get your first thoughts on it. Jono, what's first thing that pops out in your mind when I say to you that the Chicago Cubs are the world champs? What's the first thing goes through your mind?
I think the first thing I think of is well-deserved and one of the best World Series I've watched.
Fish?
Yeah, I mean, they were a deserving team, and, you know, this happens to be one of those years where they got it right. The best team won, and they are the best team.
Yeah, I that's exactly what goes through my mind, is they deserved it this year for sure. There's no doubt that it's a great topic when the best team doesn't win, right? Because it's always great. You know, you always say, well, the best team doesn't always win, because they don't, right? I mean, it's pretty well documented that it's a free-for-all when you get into the playoffs. And teams use that mantra, right, guys? Let's just get in there. Anything can happen. Well, you know, I would say that there's no doubt about it, their body of work over the course of the year. They were the team to beat. We got some happy guys out there that we've discussed on the show at one time or another. The guy that, what did he bet, John, on $250,000?
Yeah, I thought he was going to be working at Walmart at the front door if that didn't come through.
You know, so he did that. And then didn't we have a guy that prematurely got the tattoo? So
Here's the other thing, though. Sometimes in other years it's not as clearly defined. Like, you know, a team wins, and you don't say, well, the other team. You could argue back and forth because that's my team, that's your team. But this year I think it was well-defined. I think the Indians had great pitching and got a scrappy little club. I like their club, and they're probably going to be there, you know, for years to come too. But this year it was more defined. I mean, the Cubs were the best team. I'm not a Cub guy, but they were the best team, and the best team won. Here's the thing I will say about my team. We are all tied for first now.
You got that right.
It doesn't matter what team
your team, the Reds, got just as good a shot winning next year, right?
Right. Well, yeah, you would have to believe.
Hey, the Cubs did this for 108 years. We'll wait till next year.
That's right.
You know what, really, though? The only thing that really gets to me is these people that had the tattoos, this guy that took the $250,000 and put it on the Cubs. I don't like that. I like idiots like that to lose. I don't know what it is, but I like their downfall. That's my thinking of, who the hell are you to put a tat on you saying you're already world champions? The hell with you. That shit right there just irritates the hell out of me. And for you to put $250,000, you're a blundering idiot.
He
and
is?
You know what?
Wait a minute, he is an idiot?
He is an idiot, because every day of that entire week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever it was, he couldn't sleep at all. He took about 5 years off his life to win that money.
That's part of the excitement. Now he's going to take a lot more than that off once he gets that $250,000 and starts partying.
Well, he ain't getting $250,000. I think that's the argument here. What'd he get for that, you think, that $250,000?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I thought we.
I thought he
number.
Got the $250,000.
No. He didn't. He bet $250,000 to win. Like it was. I mean, the money line was
what, 7-2 or
something like that.
Yeah. So he got nearly $1 million. That's what it boils down to.
No.
It's the other way. He got less.
He paid $250,000.
He paid more to win less.
He paid more to win less. That's why you were all over him from the beginning. Remember that?
No, I don't remember it. I thought he was a seven. It was like a 7-2 or 5-2 payoff.
But that makes that bet crazier because albeit that the Cubs were the best team, they weren't the 1927 Yankees. So to bet $250,000. Right. To maybe only win, I don't know, let's just say $175,000 or $200,000, that's crazy.
And that's how I remember it. I could be wrong. I mean, I might.
I don't know how that. No, that can't be. That just cannot be.
Well,
because if you put it on World Series bet, you're going to get what the odds were for the Cubs or, like, let's say NFL. You're not going to get less than one. Even the Patriots right now are going off at 3-1.
Okay.
You're not, there's no way that you're going
to
get less.
I don't know how it works. Here's what I know, not to drag this on too long for our listeners, but here's the thing. Do we know the background of this guy?
All right, I got the ticket right here.
What is it?
Okay. He spent, ticket cost was $200,000.
Uh-huh.
Paid $800,000, so he did. He won $600,000.
Yeah, he's gonna make nearly $1 million off of it, which was a 3-1 payoff.
He made $600,000.
Yeah, 3-1 payoff.
Yep.
Hey, for us broke guys, that's nearly $1 million, Jimmy.
Well,
it may not be for other guys, but if I won $600,000, I would be saying I won nearly $1 million.
Well, you know why you're broke? Because, I mean, didn't you pay attention in school? You round down at that juncture.
I thought you rounded up.
Well, okay.
You're right. I didn't pay attention because I thought you rounded up.
Well, it's closer to $500,000 than it is to $1 million. How about that?
Well, that would be correct.
that was my big hang up because it doesn't work out like that in the perfect utopia world that these clowns put tats on them and stuff like that. I just wanted these guys to be just to have that marking on them for the rest of their life they lost.
Did they get the MVP right in Zobrist?
Because
I just want to say real quick. So Zobrist wins the MVP, which is great. And it seems like the kind of club that they don't really care. Is there anything in Chicago that Chris Bryant can't have right now?
I was going to say, I was a little, but hey, listen, to your point, I don't know if they got it right or wrong. I don't even know that they care at this point. Maybe they'll care a year from now. But, you know, Jono had brought it up earlier that it felt like if somebody was going to do something in a moment, a big moment, that would probably carry it over. Zobrist's numbers look pretty good. As opposed to some of the guys that had some big games and their numbers made out look great. Chris Bryant really had a monster last couple games, whereas he kind of scuffled. Zobrist was fairly consistent.
Hey,
don't you agree? I mean,
I do agree, but you know, this damn thing went so far that I really thought they were going to give Papi Rossi the MVP just because he hit the big home run. I mean, that home run mattered. They only went by one.
Did.
I mean,
it did.
When he hit it, it didn't. It just looked like kind of insurance stuff, which it turned out being. But hey, listen here. We had texted and talked about this. Did the Indians seem like they went away from their pitching plan and started throwing a lot more fastballs?
Yeah. Well,
I'm watching a game thinking, you're killing these guys up 3-1 with all these breaking pitches, specifically curveballs. And it seemed like to me they went away from that game plan. I mean, Kluber's throwing, you know.
Yeah. Well, his big pitch is a cutter.
Well, I don't care.
Right.
But exactly where he threw like 74% during the season, like 74% during the season, but in like 25% curveballs or something. But in the postseason against the Cubs, they were showing a number where he threw like 68% curveballs. So he obviously knew the deal.
Right.
He upped the ante on the curveballs, even though he's not necessarily a curveball guy.
Well, I will say this. I felt like where I thought the thing all turned and went interesting is in the first game back in Cleveland in game 6. It was apparent, and I mean very apparent, that the Cubs changed their style. They went up there looking for curveballs because they just murdered Tomlin's curveball. So it's like they, you know, kudos to somebody that went in there and said, hey, we're getting killed on this.
Well,
we got to start going up and looking for it as opposed to waiting on fastballs and guess hitting. So I would, you know, believe me, if we could get the hitting coach on or somebody that would come on and talk about it, it'd be great. But I don't know that they would ever even talk about it.
So we pride ourselves on this show as just being the average casual
fan
are passionate about baseball. We love it. So here's what I am saying, though. If I know this, the Cubs and Indians know it.
Right.
So the fact that they're killing, the Cubs should be looking for more curveballs, maybe a little bit more patient. I don't know. It seemed like they went away from a philosophy that worked well.
What'd
for
you
them.
See, Jono? And the
I mean, Tor, when he was on the show, this is how knowledgeable the fans are too. The Cubs fans brings it up on our show. He says, we're checking out the score, the scorecard, the scoreboard to see the fastball. It's clocking in at 87.
Yeah, he said he was tired, no doubt.
And if the Cub fans are noticing this, I guarantee you the Cub coaching is seeing this, and it's being spread out through the dugout that these pitchers are done. They're worn out. Now, a Cubs fan like Torres said, they do still have a middle relief that's fresh and ready to go. We got to get to those guys, and it's going to be a long day for them. But they are tired. The starting pitching was tired, and I don't think they had anything left in the gas tank. I think Kluber gave as much as he could. He just didn't have it anymore.
Hang on. It's got to be. Listen, if it was easy to throw on 3 days rest, they'd do it all the time, right?
Right.
So he already did it once, and now you're asking him to do it again. Yes, two guys to do it. It obviously didn't work.
Hey, I'm reading your
book. And this was the Cub fans telling us that they're noticing this.
I'm reading the book you give me to read, Jimmy, and I'll tell you this. Is it that it's not easy to pitch on 3 days rest and be as effective that day? I think the 3 day rest thing, or the 4 day rest, I'm sorry, the advent of the 5-man rotation as opposed to the 4 that they did through the 60s, 70s, and 80s, is more long term because they recognize what this can do to pitchers' arms long term.
Okay.
Now, having said that, is there really proof out there based on what you said? Well, then if the 3 days rest, everybody would do it and they do it all the time. I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure that he's less effective on 3 days rest. I'm not sure of that.
Well, so you brought it up earlier. We pride ourselves on being the casual fan on here. I know what I saw with my own eyes. He got knocked around.
You acting smarter than me again?
No, I'm just saying. You brought it up. We're the casual fan. I can only go by what I see with my own eyes. And Corey Kluber clearly, the second time he did it,
had less stuff.
Oh, I thought so.
Well, showed the game
Jono,
one.
You did, right?
I mean, I just seen a guy that was giving everything he's got.
Game one, he had 8 strikeouts. Right. Game two, he pitched. It wasn't game two of the series, but game two, he pitched.
Yeah.
He's got like 3.
Game 3.
The third game, he had 0. So I wasn't even saying I was right on that. I'm just saying I think that the 4-day rest, the 5-man rotation as opposed to the 4-man rotation and 3-day rest and all that stuff, I think that's based more long-term. I don't have a problem with pitching any of them. Well, look what they did with the Cubs did the same thing.
Sure.
Look how they used Chapman.
Oh, what?
I mean, it could cost
them. There you go. There's another one. I mean, again, we just pride ourselves on being fans. There's not a guy in this world that didn't watch Chapman come in that game and tell that once they pushed him past those first couple batters, you have never seen Aroldis Chapman pitch since he came into the big leagues and throw that many sliders versus fastballs.
Now, does it matter what kind of pitch you throw? Because here's the thing. I remember John Tudor, old Cardinal pitcher, used to say that he pitched better when he was tired because he threw a lot of sinkers. And his sinker actually sunk more when he was tired.
For a long time. But, well, remember Jason Marquis would do it.
I think it's certainly true of Chapman that, listen, this guy unleashes the violence on every single pitch. So the more he throws, the less violence there is in that pitch.
What's that guy's name that they did chase out of Chicago?
Bartman?
I thought he was going to rent a room next to Bartman after that game if they would have lost.
Wait a minute, though. Hang on that real quick. Hang on. Whose fault is that? The guy took the ball. What's he going to say? No.
I know, but they're going to blame it on the player for giving
that up.
Yes,
let me tell you something.
It doesn't matter.
Joe Madden did everything completely wrong and still won. Him bringing him in with a 5-run lead the day before might be the single dumbest thing I've seen in the history of managing. There was no reason to bring Chapman in that game. No reason. He overmanaged the game 7. Why would you take Hendricks out? Why? It made zero sense to take him out.
That's what I'm saying. Here's the one thing, Jimmy, that we've discussed in the show before. We don't know the dugout speak. So we're not sure what's going on in that dugout. At face value, I have to agree with you, but I think we see that on both sides. We've seen it all throughout the playoffs where guys were doing things almost crazy. Like, we even got to a discussion where they're pitching backwards, like from the back end front, which is crazy, stupid stuff. But my point is, we've seen that throughout the playoffs this year where it looked like guys were overmanaging. But we don't know dugout speak. So we don't know that Hendricks is saying, hey, my elbow's stiff. And Madden would then protect him. So Madden ain't going to come out in his press conference and say, yeah, I took him out because his elbow hurts. He's not going to say that. But so we don't know those things. So it looks like he's overmanaging maybe. Jimmy, you got to give me that. I'm not saying I'm right. It's just
I agree with you.
It's just a possibility.
But here's the thing. It became what he was doing. It wasn't an anomaly. That's what he was doing.
Why do you bunt Baez there?
I have no idea. Awful.
I think Smoltz agreed with it. I don't.
It's awful.
I mean, I let him swing the bat.
It was awful. Awful decision.
How about changing topic for 1 second here? And how about in Cleveland seeing about 15,000 to 20,000 or 30,000 damn Cubs fans in your stadium? They've overtaken Cleveland. They've overtaken the stadium.
That was
and
amazing.
I'm saying to you right now,
I've never seen anything like that.
If you're Cleveland, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, and don't give me that, we haven't been there since 1948. Show it, because Cubs fans would have showed it at Wrigley. They wouldn't have allowed any Cleveland fan to take any of their seats.
I agree with you 100% on this. And, again, we're just, you know, we're a fan podcast, right? We're here trying to give you a perspective on the games. Twitter, social media is blowing up, doing all this kind of stuff. I could hardly find Cleveland fans.
Hey, listen.
So here's the thing. Let me finish, and then you can have your point. I don't know that Cleveland fan, like, there are some diehards, of course. There's a reason why these Cubs fans had all these tickets available to them. You wouldn't see that in very many cities.
No.
I don't know how many diehard Cleveland Indian fans there are.
Hey, listen, Jimmy. They were walking around the city of Cleveland with Cleveland Indian jerseys on, replica jerseys, scalping tickets. And then as soon as they bought them, they ripped that son of a bitch off and had a Cub jersey underneath it. Well, that's what they were doing. So nobody just unnecessarily sold their tickets in Cleveland. Quit ripping on the Cleveland fans.
Listen, hang on, whoa. Wait a minute.
Yeah, we're gonna
say you're
your
making
ass
shit
on
up.
This one. Yeah,
you couldn't tell I was making that up?
This is a guy here, okay, that I went and bought tickets with, that I bought tickets for the 1985 World Series and watched my two best friends, the minute we bought them, walk away from the window and sell theirs.
Right.
I want to say we paid $20 a ticket, if you can believe that, in 1985 or $40 or something. They doubled their money. I had two tickets, and I asked Fish, because I told Fish I was taking him. I said, should we sell our tickets?
I think they got $100 a piece
for
tickets.
Well, whatever it was.
And you keep saying you bought them. I remember I paid something.
No. My point is you weren't me, Joe, and Doug.
I was there when you were there.
I don't remember. Were you?
Yeah, because there was more than two.
All right, we got. But the point is, you guys were loyal to your
team.
That's
right.
And the Cleveland, to me, did not show the loyalty that Cubs fans showed. And the Cubs fan, you know what, Cubs, you guys deserve it. You guys deserve it.
Do you think it played a role? Honestly, like,
who's that?
Like the fan, like when you watch the game, yeah,
how much of a motivation is that? Because you're not playing in hostile territory in Game 7. You are playing in a stadium that loves you now, and I guarantee that rain delay, the Cubs fans were all generous. I guarantee that the Cubs just galvanized around that.
What about you? You think it played a role, Fish?
I think it has to play a slight role, not a huge role. It's not the overwhelming factor. It's not why the Cleveland didn't win the World Series, but it may play a little role. Here's the point, though.
That's what you need, though, is that little role.
Social media, our Cleveland listeners jump your guys' ass.
I hope they do, because we want to hear from them. Why the hell did
you guys are selling
these
Cleveland
tickets
guys
away
short?
Well, you know what? Your stadium, you gave half of it to the Chicago Cub fans out there. So shame on you. Those are the ones that I'm talking about.
Yeah, but
I know that you haven't been there, and I've heard the story. Let me pull my violin out for you. But I'm telling you right now, what you did there was despicable as a home team. Game 7, you should have been waving some sort of Indian towel or something. You guys should have been just galvanized around your team, and you didn't. You didn't. It was a half and half type. It's a half-assed performance by you guys.
Okay, well, hey, I want to get your guys' thoughts on something that I find really interesting here. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody to make sure you check us out at BleacherBumsPodcast.com. Really appreciated all the interaction that was going on. Twitter and Facebook were on fire during the World Series, of course. At Bums Podcast is our Twitter handle. And, of course, Facebook.com/BleacherBumsPodcast is the way to find us there. We're always looking for new followers on Twitter. Again, if you follow us, we're going to follow you back if you're a sports fan. We're curious what's going on with you. Is subscribing to the show is the easiest way. Minor announcement here. Obviously, with the off season, the show will go to once a week in the off season. We'll release it on Fridays,
and we can sure use you guys.
Jump
in and help us out with topics too, because we're going to be running pretty low.
It's, you know, you can only talk about the hot stove market so much, but the reality of it is there may very well be lots going on, which we will see. you know, we'll take a look at some different things, maybe preview some divisions and see who's making moves. So we'd appreciate that. And the best way to always stay up, like we did that special edition at the last minute to give you guys, we had an opportunity to talk to a Cubs fan the other day that was in Cleveland. He had bought tickets, somebody scalped him. He bought them, the whole bit. No problem. It was a great interview. It gave great insight. It was very well received. We may do things like that over the winter too, because if something pops up and we get the opportunity, you know, if something happens, you know, how weird things happen in the off season. Subscribe to the show. It's the easiest way to know, hey, the guy's released a show. Very simple to do. iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, all the major podcast outlets. You can search for us, Bleacher Bums Podcast. Subscribe.
You could go to our site.
It's the easiest way
to go to our site, and it says subscribe. So, yeah, you know, just
very
follow
simple
the arrows,
to do. So
really.
We'll be asking you guys that. So we would greatly appreciate it. Hey, guys, I got through the other things that I do, I've gotten to be friends with some guys that did some neat things. There's a local guy. A lot of guys from the area know him very well. His name's Randy Wells. He was a converted catcher, I believe, in the Cubs organization that wound up having a nice run as a Cubs pitcher. In fact, I think he won his rookie year, won 7 games in a row, which that's a record.
And he came in as a catcher?
Yeah. Well, he
not to the big leagues.
Not to the big leagues. He didn't hit as well. He had a good arm. They made him a pitcher. So he had a nice run with the Cubs, which it was kind of quick, and it was interesting. I was really surprised. It looked like he was an up-and-coming guy for him, and then it just kind of – I don't know. I think he might have some injuries and stuff. But he's from Belleville, which is a local community. And I've gotten to know him through youth baseball, the stuff he does. And he's a great guy, but he's very passionate. It's still to this day about the Cubs. Obviously, he's a Cub. He feels like he's always a Cub. So he's obviously been very active on Facebook.
Are we going to have him on here?
Well, I we can for sure. I was interested. I want to tell you guys, he put a Facebook post out. And it's basically what he says is, and you can search him, Randy Wells, that he always liked Theo Epstein. He didn't like him when he cut him, but he's basically saying in here that he understood that they had to rebuild this thing, that he was tasked with doing this, so he understood what they were doing. He said that as a former Cubs pitcher that was obviously not happy about his career ending, that he felt like he was a part of this, and part of that was Theo Epstein has never stopped reminding everybody that's ever worn a Cubs jersey that they were a part of this. So whether you were a former Cub, whether you're a Cubs fan that is, and how about the lady that's 108 years old that was born the year they last won, so she's the only living person to live through too. Are you happy for these people that they feel like they were a part of this in general? Do you feel like this was bigger than a World Series?
Well, sure, because if you don't, you're a schmuck. You're trying to rob someone else's little happiness. I mean, let them be happy. Let them feel like they're part, you know.
The only thing that I got is that village idiot that held a sign, "Do you believe in miracles?" This is not that team that the USA had against Russia. Let me tell you that right now. You had the best team. You had the best army. You had the full metal jacket going into this, okay? You should not have lost this. So don't hold a sign and have us all of Major League Baseball think, oh, wow. But, yeah, you did pull a miracle, didn't you?
You
did not pull a miracle. You were supposed to win it.
You're looking deep into this, though, John. It's just
that's
a damn sign.
It no,
it's just a guy coming to a game putting up a sign.
But when you're on the outside looking at that sign, you're going, no, it's not miracle. It's not a miracle team that you put out there. All right, this is not USA taking on Russia.
All right, so you're basically essentially saying, well, there was no curse, obviously. They were just not very good for 108 years.
Well, if you looked at it like statistically and stuff, I think you'd find all the day games killed them for years and years and years. Which they haven't played day games
that was
like
always
that for
a
20
very,
years.
Right. A lot of players would say that after they retired. Like, man, my body just, I was beat.
It was tough. I mean, but you know, the thing is, the Cubs are at fault for a lot of this, and that they didn't always have the best players. They weren't always capable of winning. They went years and years and years without good teams.
Are we to believe, though, that in 108 years they didn't have a few teams that should not have won? I mean, are we to believe
should
that?
Have won.
That's what I mean. Are we to not believe that?
And they did. The 84 team, when Garvey from San Diego hit the home run on them in Game 5 LCS, you know, that team goes to the World Series minus the one pitch, the one home run. And the Cubs, that was the Sutcliffe, Ryan Sandberg years.
Yep.
They were actually much better than the Padres, which the Padres went to Detroit, I think, kicked their ass, 4-0 sweep probably, I think it was. I'm sure it was.
Right.
But the Cubs would have given Detroit a better run. But, yeah, they've had other teams, 84, just here recently with the Moses Alou.
Last year they were good, I thought.
You know, last
the
year
with
good.
Alou, they were good. I would say that for me, I can't help but feel like the pressure mounts. I mean, it looked early in the series to me like that pressure, it looked like it was getting to him. Now, I don't know, we talk about a light switch being flipped on and all that kind of stuff. But, to say that any of us in here played real baseball is what it is, right? But the reality of it is you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what's going on. And if you saw the dugout early in the series, it looked like the pressure was getting to him a little bit.
It did, and I pointed that out a few times. Right. Like in the Giants series, the Giants won game four, and they got to go back to Chicago. So much pressure would have been on Chicago. But you know what? As John, I think, pointed out kind of earlier, they rebounded and performed every time they really had to. So
I guarantee you.
They deserve it.
Once Rajah Davis hit that home run, they were thinking, here comes the GOAT.
Oh, yeah. How can you not? I think the rain delay helped them.
I think that entire dugout said, the damn GOAT's going to get us now.
How could you not?
Well,
What a game. Well, what a game seven. It was in Cleveland.
Extra innings,
God bless you
rain
guys.
Delays, home run. I mean, it hit everything.
Yeah. God bless you, Cleveland Indian players. Out of the hell with your fans. But I'll tell you what, I love the way you guys were spunky the entire year. You guys dug in and you guys didn't give an inch. And God bless, man. Hats off. You guys made it a hell of a series. And I even put on my Facebook, I don't want to see either team lose here. I just did not want to see one of these teams lose because they played their asses off. Both of them did. I was hoping the rain would come down for one whole day and they say, that's it. Let's just shake hands and call it. Both of us won this damn thing. I swear to God.
They did that in an All-Star game once, yeah. And they let the All-Star game decide. So, you know, crazy as baseball is, maybe they might have done that.
Yeah, well.
And say, neither one of these teams won. Let's make them both winners.
Okay, so. You know, we're at this point now. We've got a winner. We can talk about all the what ifs. I mean, obviously, Cleveland was down a couple of big pitchers for him. I mean, no Carrasco. Salazar looked good coming out of the bullpen. Can you imagine having him full go? I mean, boy, he's nasty.
Let's skip all that. It's said and done now. Now let's talk about you've got these guys. Cubs have got these guys for the next 5 years. They're not losing anybody on
this team.
Well,
they might lose Fowler.
Okay, big deal.
I'm sorry.
But you know what? You bring Baez in as a full-time player now. I think he's earned it. I think you got to give Baez a shot at this and stop having him on the bench. So now, basically, you've got the core of this team for the next 5 years. Can the Cubs win the next 3 out of 5?
Well, I mean, the betting money would say no. I mean, I'm just being honest.
I'm looking at this team as
but they're awful
for the
good.
Next 5 years, they're going to do something else here. This doesn't end this year on this World Series is all I'm saying.
It looks like they could win for years to come, at least the next five. But the thing is, John, if you look at it, and there's teams who've done that, who've been multiple repeaters and all that, but so many things can happen. Just hypothetically, say they lose Flower to free agency. Say a guy hurts his knee. Say a guy hurts his. Just a lot of things can happen, man.
Yep.
You can't just gift wrap this thing to the Cubs that they're going to win a few more.
But I think I know where you're coming from in all reality. The bottom line is I can assure you what's not going to happen, barring an injury, of course, like Fish said. But Rizzo and Brian aren't going anywhere.
No,
and they're
going
to.
Hendricks going to be there.
And whether it's 2-3, 3-4, whatever it is, they're not going anywhere. It sure looks like Baez and Russell are both up-and-coming players that are going to contribute
for
a long time.
You can't get rid of them, yeah.
Okay? It sure looks that way. Now, we all know how young players work, right? Zobrist is going to be there at least another couple years, and he is a steady-as-they-go type guy.
Madden loves him.
Okay? Sure looks like Contreras is going to be one hell of a catcher.
Right.
You would have to assume.
You can't
right?
get rid of him, yeah.
So, and then, you know, we'll see what happens
what
with
about Showbirds?
Well,
you didn't even mention him.
Well, that's where I'm going.
He's a guy that can.
That's where I'm going. That's why Fowler's going to go bye-bye, I believe, is because this Schwarber's obviously got to play. So where's he going to play? He's got to play left field. So,
man, John called that. He said that guy was hot, and I said,
he was tough.
So he hit rockets
happen?
Everywhere.
But here's the deal. And our intern, Owings, just wrote this down on my pad, and he's right. And he actually, this is where I was going. I understand that Russell and Baez both look really good. They got Schwarber looks really good. They got all this. Contreras looks really good. But I guarantee you, a couple years ago, everybody thought Jorge Soler was going to be the next coming. And he hasn't worked out, so you can't put you can't guarantee these guys.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but we're playing odds here.
Well,
and this
odds
is the
may
theme.
Say that, but we are saying take away free agency with Fowler and take away injury. But first off, we know that someone will be hurt part of the season in the next 5 years. That's just the way baseball.
Well, that's the way baseball is. They all are. Yeah,
then
you're right.
What about off years? So Bryant did look great. Rizzo did look great. Schwarber does look like he beat, but. That's assuming all these guys have these years.
That's why it's special. That's why it's
special. These guys aren't Willie Mays now. Come on.
My point is, and I'm jumping a gun, but I'm telling you right now, they got the same chemistry as the Big Red Machine. They are that damn good that I think that these guys can rule for the next couple years as well. I'm telling you, and I'm the biggest Cincinnati Reds fan, and I hope I never see another team come a little close to that even. But I'm telling you, these Cubs are that type of caliber that they can sustain.
The Cubs have better pitching. Assuming all that stays healthy, yes, they're better than the Big Red Machine in that regard. They still don't have a lineup that the Big Red Machine
I think they do, I think the Reds –
These guys
the
are too young.
They're too young.
Maybe Fowler, maybe Baez, Russell. Maybe these guys will eventually show that. But that's like saying that – somebody's next Willie Mays. You better be Willie Mays before you see the next Willie Mays.
So can we say if they win another one in the next 2-3 years that you can start saying, hey, you know what, there is a comparison there because up and down this lineup, they are damn good.
Well, I think they are good. I don't think they even have to win another World Series to say they're good.
Right.
World Series aren't always about that. Again, we're back to one of the other topics that I bring up all the time, and that's how managers are overrated, in my opinion. I know Fish agrees with me. I know you do not. That's fine. The reality of it is this. It's an organizational thing. The Yankees won all those World Series that they win because the organization decides to invest in their team. They have a plan, and they input it. Now, I will say this. Theo Epstein sure seems to be a pretty bright guy.
Chicago's going to do that.
Okay. They love him. The players love him,
so what happens is that you put these guys together and they have these quote-unquote perfect storms, right? So Epstein sure seems to be a bright guy, okay? That I think we could all agree on that. And he plays for a hungry organization that hasn't won, craves winning, and has money. Now, all you got to do is not make any what I would call really bad decisions. Now, I will say this. I think they started off with a really bad decision last year that's going to lead to another bad decision this year. Are they going to stop them from winning? I don't know. The bottom line is the fact that they signed Jason Hayward to this monster deal is probably why Fowler won't be there.
You know,
now, hang on. Let me finish. Even if Fowler is there, he's going to be there at the expense of something. It may not be an actual player being on the roster, but it's going to be what's called playing time. If Fowler's there and Hayward's there making $200 million a year, Fowler's going to play. Hayward's going to have to play at times. Schwarber, they want to play. Where does Zobrist play? How does Baez play? How does Russell play?
Our intern's raising his hand.
His mic's not even going to work.
Well, can you get over here real quick?
Here's a question. If Schwarber plays right field, where does Jason Hayward play?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, we get that, but here's the thing. Don't confuse us with me trying to justify that money, but I'm telling you now, I think Jason Hayward helped that club a lot.
No. He's not going to be there.
I'm not talking long term. I'm talking this year. His presence, because they had so many young guys, his veteran presence, I think, was stabilized and helped that team a lot more than you think it did.
I would actually agree with you.
I'm not trying to justify that money. That's way too much. Because you could have went out for a tenth of a tenth and got a guy to be able to do that for a lot less money.
Well, they already had that guy, obviously, in Grandpa Rossi. That's why everybody loves him, right? I mean,
I'm just saying.
But my point on that is I even agree with you. Listen, you can't underestimate that. We can fans will do it because all they do is look at the money and the production. But the reality of it is, when you're talking about guys, now this is a guy that, I don't care who you are. It can be all, Buster Olney. Every one of these guys can call me and tell me how good Jason Hayward is, and I'll argue with him till I fall down. The reality of it was he was horrible. Here's the truth. in the post World Series, immediately following the game, to your MVP, what could have been your series MVP, Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo, both the very first thing they said was it was Jason Hayward.
Yeah,
so I get that.
So listen, here's the other thing, because when Jason Hayward played in St. Louis, and that's my squad, here's the deal. As much as I can criticize Jason Hayward's performance based on numbers, and baseball's a number game, I have always recognized that this man plays the game right.
Oh, sure.
You know,
sure.
If all the guys that I've gained respect for the Cubs, and you know how I feel about the Cubs, not good, I got a ton of respect for him, and here's why. Because what he went through, making the big money, supposed to be the big star or one of the big stars, getting benched multiple times, getting pinch hit for throughout the year, different this, that, he always came to play. He continued to play hard. He never mouthed off. That's contagious. So these young guys like Baez, Russell, Fowler, these guys look at that and they say, I'm going to play like Jason Hayward. You don't get that unless the guy's doing that.
I
and
would
you
agree
can
with
see
that.
It.
Wait a minute here. Wait a minute. You're getting paid outrageous. You're getting paid 7-8 times what these guys, Bryant and those guys, are getting paid. You're telling me – all you
more
did was
that.
All you're giving is a rah-rah speech, man.
John,
you haven't done anything.
I'm not trying to justify the money,
lineup.
But the money doesn't matter in this regard.
Because it's already been spent.
I've seen 100 guys get paid big time. I've seen 100 guys get paid big time money and still not bust their ass.
Well, you haven't.
So it don't matter how much you get paid. You're either a player or you're not. You work hard or you don't.
This is what you do. This is what you do. You tell them, you go to a different team and you go, hey, we'll eat half his contract. We want him off the team. We'll give him to you. We'll even throw in a minor league pitcher with him and so forth. I mean, he's gone. He will not.
And I would agree with that because they can get him for less. I agree with that.
There's no way that you're going to bench some guys, and they should be playing right now.
Well,
you're looking at about money, and I'm not.
Okay.
I agree with that.
The money and talent. The talent's there, ready to go out and play. I don't know how you could justify putting a $200 million player in the dugout. It's going to take toll while all the players are looking at him going, there's the biggest paid player sitting in my dugout. Oh, yeah, he gives a rah-rah speech now and then, but it just doesn't do it.
And that could happen. You're right. That could happen. But it didn't happen this year. But those guys are still young. 3 years later, when he's still making $25 million a year or whatever it is, those Russells, the Fowlers, those guys, or them guys may even say, look, they let Fowler go. They let him go. Dexter Fowler left. Give us our money. That could happen.
Okay, that's where, and that's what I'm saying. There's the first domino to fall as a result of what would characteristically be tainted as a bad move. If they lose Fowler, and I'm going to tell you, anybody that wants to discount this is crazy. He was a good leadoff hitter for them. And you cannot, hey, listen, it's game 7, Kluber's on the mound, and this guy hits a leadoff home run. You don't think that that made them go, whew, come on, give me a break. This guy had some great moments for these guys this year throughout the course of the year. The factor is this. If he has to go, not even a money – this isn't a money issue. Chicago's got more money. If they really want to, they could spend an exorbitant amount of money. The bottom line is you've only got 8 starting positions, and they have what is equivalent to about 12 guys that want to play.
Yeah, but I agree with everything both of you have said. I'm not trying to crawfish here. My only point was I think he had a stabilizing impact on this team with all the young kids that benefited the Cubs this year immensely.
I would agree with that.
Can you get that cheaper? Absolutely. Do you need him? No. So I'm not saying Hayward needs to be here next year. I love what Jono said. You go somewhere and say, we'll eat half of it. Here's 2 minor league pitchers. Get rid of them so they got half that money to spend somewhere else. I get that. But I think it's unfair to say that he wasn't a big part of this because he was.
Well, I would say, again, the only thing I have to go on is, to your point, you never once heard him complain that he was in playing, isn't it?
Ever.
I think the guys. And again, I think it's a big tell. These are big moments in these guys' lives. They're on camera right after they win a World Series, and one of the first things they say is, it was Jason Hayward. He got us all together. Everybody's looking at one another, and he's the one that gets us together and says, hey.
Yeah. Here's the neat note on that. So this wasn't a situation where all these guys, like, given a week later where they've had a party and they've talked and they've discussed stuff where they can all come to the conclusion that, hey, it was Jason Hayward. This is guys that hadn't even got the opportunity to talk about that.
Right.
But yet when they were asked individually, you're pointing out, because it was more than 2 of them.
Yeah.
I think Madden even said it.
Right.
No, Madden didn't say it. I'm sorry.
But it was another person.
So all these guys individually, without getting to talk, converse to each other, made that point. It had to mean something.
Well, hey, look, man, even a fat guy walking in a buffet, he's not going to be talking bad or whatever. So that's my point. Hey, we got T.O. T.O., tell us what's going on with this contest we got going
right
now.
Yeah, we brought in Owens here. We're going to do a little contest. We teased it on the last show. We thought, you know what, let's not screw this up and let the buffoons tell you about this contest. This guy does this here for lineupmedia.fm, great company that we're proud to be a part of. This is an opportunity for us, and it was Jono's idea. It was a fabulous idea. We're going to give back to you, the listener, and all we're asking for is a little help. So I'm going to turn it over to T.O.
Hi, guys. How are you? Here is what we're going to do. We're going to auction off, not even auction, we're going to give away an autographed Tom Glavine jersey. Yeah, Tom Glavine from the Braves, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. All you have to do is go to facebook.com/bumspodcast, like the show, subscribe on iTunes, and send us a screenshot via DM that you have subscribed to the show. Go to us on Twitter at Bums Podcast. Go and subscribe at iTunes. Send a screenshot that you have subscribed to the show. Send it to us in our DM or reply to the pinned post, and we'll select a winner.
Well, that sounds pretty
simple.
Good. That sounds
easy
pretty
peasy.
Good. And what, we're running this for a couple weeks? Yeah.
Yeah. How long? What do you guys think? I'm thinking a couple weeks. That gives everybody time. We're looking for, you know, what we're asking is you guys being fans of the show, obviously, is once you've done so, please share it. That would help spread the word and get that going. But we'll go 2 weeks on this, guys. Let's see how much fan interaction we can get. But, you know, don't forget, the key way to communicate with us is always through social media. At Bumps Podcast is our Twitter handle. Of course, facebook.com/BleacherBumsPodcast. Make sure you guys find us. Send us that stuff, and let's roll from there.
And he's in the Hall of Fame already, right?
Yeah, I thought it'd be a great idea with Tom Glavine. Oh, yeah. We talked about Tom Glavine, and somehow we got the signature and all that. So
thanks for doing that, T.O. Appreciate it.
Lineupmedia.fm, folks.
That's our social media director here. And, you know, some of the other shows, it's a great idea by you, of course. You know, that we had an opportunity through a connection to get the Jono did through a friend of his.
Through lineupmedia.fm. Yeah. Our GM, our owner, he said, let's step it up and let's get this thing going. So
this goes well, and I am a decision maker here, we could probably do something like this again, couldn't we?
Oh, for sure. Oh,
I mean, we have some connections.
We got a few. Yeah, you know what? That's a great call on Randy. I'm going to give him a call. I bet he'd jump on with us next week.
No, well, why the hell not? Yeah. I mean, I'm a big, passionate Cowboy fan, and I think the next one in baseball is the Cubs and the Boston Red Sox. I know you guys like to throw yourselves into the mix, but I see that more with the Cubs, and I see that with Boston Red Sox. For as much as they endured and to stay there and then – God bless them, man. These are the type of fans I want in my foxhole. I've seen you guys in action, and you're not exactly role model for being fans either. In the early 90s, there were a lot of empty seats when Joe Torre was as the manager. Smile, laugh, give me the finger all you want, but I'm telling you right now that was not a devoted fan base that I've seen out there.
I've been to Chicago games in Wrigley Field. Let me tell you, there's always been a bunch of empty seats.
Yes, and they don't have that many seats either.
You got to win to put them in the park.
Yeah. Come on, bud.
I've always seen that park full, baby.
Wait a minute.
By the third, fourth inning, it was full.
You're crazy.
See, now you're going to make me go to the stats, and I'm going to make you look silly.
All right, yeah, please
do. All right,
do.
Okay, because, listen, they were the day game of choice on WGN for years, and you could tune in and see half that stadium full.
And I watched
for
more of those
years.
I watched as much of them games as anybody in the state of Illinois, I'm telling you. Here's what I will say, Jono. I don't want to – it sounds like I'm crawfishing. I agree 100% with what you're saying, that the Cubs look like they're built for the next 4, 5, 6 years. I agree with that. I guess I was being devil's advocate and just saying, you can't gift wrap it yet. Like when Cleveland was up 3-1, I was saying, hey, don't gift wrap this thing. Chicago's got the kind of team where they can come back game by game and win this thing.
I think by game 7, though, you knew that, and even the Cleveland people knew that there's something happening here that we can't stop.
Yeah, that's why they didn't come to the game. They didn't want to see it.
Now, that's sad, though. That really is. Game seven. I heard some tickets were going for $30,000.
Was it that bad, though, Jono? You
15,
know, I got four 000, kids running
30,
around my 000, house.
Yeah.
So I missed some things. And I know there was a big number of Cub fans there. But was it that bad, where you're saying that the whole damn thing was filled with Cub people?
Oh, man. It was like half of it. I didn't know where the hell they were playing. Whenever there'd be a Cub crossing home plate. I mean, you heard that stadium erupt on the TV.
Hey, how about, you know, I'm on record as saying that I believe Baez is the best defensive second baseman I've ever seen, and he comes out and makes two errors in Game 7.
Yeah.
But they weren't Little League errors like he booted one through his legs.
Yeah,
they were kind of tough plays.
They were errors. The one was lazy.
He tried to barehandle one on the double play, which, you know, and then he tried to make a funky throw.
Yeah, there's no reason to make that throw. That was a showboat play. I think that was bullshit on his part. But whatever. I mean, that was that. Listen, I'm going to go on record and say this. I'm not a Javi Baez guy. I think he's going to flame out because I think he's a me guy. I don't think he fits in with that group. I really don't.
I don't agree.
Me guy.
See,
I think that guy's fabulous.
I don't want to bring this back up because it's probably a useless argument. The Cubs win the World Series, and I'm spending time talking with Jason Hayward. Bullshit. I agree with that. But that's the kind of influence a guy like Ross Hayward has to keep everybody in check, because you get these young guys, and we see what these young guys are. I got a 13-year-old boy who plays basketball, and I know how these kids act now. It's different than when we played.
For sure.
There's a lot more yap and a lot more showboat and a lot more all these guys catch that ball in the outfield like they're slinging it.
Please don't compare Ross with Hayward. I mean, Ross has been there. Ross has been in World Series. I just don't know how you could.
He has?
Yeah, for a Boston Red Sox.
There's all kinds of backup guys that are on these teams. Big deal. He's never been a star, never been a player.
I tell you what, he's been a clutch hitter, too, though. He's been a clutch hitter. You want to look that up, too, don't you?
Boy, he better be a clutch hitter, being that he hits about 200 every year. So but all of his hits count.
I'm saying, though, that he's been there. What's Hayward done?
Well, he played so little in Boston that until you pointed this out to me that I didn't realize he was a backup catcher in Boston.
Yeah, but didn't he catch for there was a catcher that he caught
he's,
for
– He's Lester's guy.
Yeah.
I mean – There's another thing. Here's a guy. Now, mind you, I think he's an unbelievable pitcher.
Okay, stuff-wise.
He's unreal. But here's a guy who mentally – now, hang on. I want to ask you this question.
You're crazy.
Now, hang on a second. We have anointed these guys the World Series champs next year, right? And we're doing a bunch of what-ifs. It's sure. Hang on. Follow me on this.
They look damn good.
I agree with you. We are talking about all these positive what-ifs. You're talking about a guy that refuses – to throw the ball to first base. We got guys that are standing 10 steps off the bag and he won't throw it over there. Hang on. Which is obviously a mental issue. So this guy's obviously running on the edge of mental.
I'll take him any day.
Hang on. I understand that.
Spit it out.
What happens when his catcher isn't there next year? Because you're talking about a guy that goes to the coach and says, Ross catches the day when I pitch.
Right.
He's gone.
There does seem to be maybe some mental... I see where you're going with that, because how's that affect Lester mentally? And I say that because most guys, I would say, who gives a hoot's ass? But this guy obviously has some mental cuckoos going on up in that head. I couldn't believe, and I want to say make one more point on this, but first I want to say, I couldn't believe when it was a swinging bunt, he actually backed up. He did not only go forward, he backed up
he
and stood there and
it.
Said, somebody got to make this play for me. I cannot pick this ball up and throw it to first base. That is a little cuckoo. I didn't know he had that problem. I just didn't think he could throw from the stretch
to
first base. He won't throw anything
except
the home plate.
Now,
the other thing I want to say.
I'll take him.
Jimmy, absolutely. Here's the thing. Average fan here, I guess, but passionate. Watched it forever. How are teams not bunting on this guy left and right?
Again, that's.
Bunt it. I mean, literally, you get second and third. You're not to get not to give it up with two outs. I don't care. Bunt it straight back to him.
Again.
Make him.
I'm sitting there the whole time asking why we're not bunting more. Whatever.
We've seen it, Jimmy.
These guys are going to the Hall of Fame. These two coaches.
They couldn't
have coached any worse, in my opinion.
I have to agree with the bunting thing and that issue. And here's the other thing. The Cleveland Indians didn't effectively take one single advantage of this. Him not being able to throw the first one. Guys, they got thrown out.
Hey, let me tell you something. This is the truth, okay? This is the baseball guy in me that knows just enough to be dangerous, okay? this is going to sound crazy. We teach kids, and you were taught this, you guys were all taught this, when there's a left-hander on the mound, if you're not stealing, your first step is back to the bag, then you secondary off the bag when he throws home. These guys are literally 10 steps off the bag, okay? And I watched it because I'm like, how are they not going? And when he picked his front foot, like they were going back to first base like he was going to throw it over there. Somewhere along the line, a coach had to come to these guys and say, look, get it out of your head. If you get picked off, it's on us, not you. Get off the damn bag. I am blown away by this. How does Francisco Lindor – That far off first base get thrown out at second base.
Unbelievable.
It's the most unreal thing I've ever seen. At no time did anybody go to these guys and say, look, quit worrying about getting picked. I know what you're thinking. You're standing that far off the base and you're going, God, all he's got to do is flip it over here and I'm out. If that happens, so what? We'll deal with it. The bottom line is kind of like, and I'll give the coaches this in Chicago, kind of like that game six mentality. Guys, we're getting carved up by curveballs. Let's go look for them and see what happens.
So if you get a guy on first base with Lester, nobody out, typically if
it should be a triple.
Typically, if someone were to bunt, you'd say, why are you bunting? At least in the middle part of the game. In this case, you get a guy on first with nobody out. I say bunt the ball straight back to
straight
to
back
Lester.
To him.
Not because I'm trying to advance a runner and giving up an out for it. I'm saying he ain't going to get the out.
Or he won't. That's right.
He is not going to get the out.
And that's the other thing. If you ask any of these guys, the hard part about bunting is angling it to first or third. They'll tell you right now, I can bunt it straight ahead all day long. Bun it right to him.
Yeah, your chance of better following it.
You know what? I text Fish, and I going back to what you said about Madden having some bonehead moves. I tell you what, how do you have Baez bunting?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
You got a guy on third base, one out. You want some contact. You want to get that guy home. You do not want to. On two strikes, the guy said, and you seem Baez all pissed off at the world. Like, I cannot believe they just gave me that goddamn signal.
It wasn't just that. Here's the deal on that, too. And I will say this. It's the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. That's number one. It's a type of move where if he gets – this is what kills me about just whether it be social media or anything. If Baez gets the bunt down, what are we saying? But this Madden's a genius. That's what kills me. But here's the thing. It's a dumb play. I would even say that with two strikes, I would have understood it if he was bunting the whole at bat. But he didn't even ask him to bunt until there was two strikes.
I don't know if we would say that, Jimmy.
Right. No, I agree there.
You pointed out earlier that – Madden made a lot of bad moves and won despite of it.
That's right.
So
but what have I said? Players play. Players play. Talent plays.
So I don't think that we'd be quick to jump on the bandwagon that he's a genius because I'm agreeing with you. He's done some things where he won in spite of it or he done whatever. Where I'm thinking, me and John were texting. I disagree with the Chapman thing. He might as well just started the son of a gun. He was going to pitch him forever. And it worked out. The rain delay helped. It worked out. That don't necessarily mean it's good.
One guy made one bad move after another, both of them. I'm just floored by it. The biggest year, the two biggest years, Chano, that David Ross had were in Cincinnati.
That's where I remember.
Okay. And here's how big he was. He only had his biggest year ever at the plate was 348 at-bats. This guy's averaged about 170 at-bats a year for the last 10 years.
Hey, give me some home runs and RBIs and average, just a couple.
Here's why Jono thought he was a more of a full-time player, and obviously he was pressed into duty, or they thought he was going to be a player in Cincinnati. Jono could speak more eloquently to that than I could. But he did have a year in Cincinnati, okay, where this is kind of impressive, okay? He only played in 90 games, had 296 at-bats, and hit 21 home runs.
I'm telling you, the guy can play, and then we traded him, I think, to Boston after that.
But that just goes to show your bam box.
As a catcher, 348 plate
appearances. You got more bam box home runs in St. Louis than Cincinnati.
It's not even close. Come on, don't say things like that. You're going to make yourself look silly.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's
how many home runs you got in St. Louis? You guys led home runs in
John, talk to any of the guys in the league. It's an actual fair park. The ball does not carry there.
The
ball
is flying out of St. Louis, too. Don't tell me it's not.
It's not.
It's not okay.
It's not.
All right.
Okay, it's not.
All right.
So, anyway, he had two decent years in Cincinnati. Other than that, he's been pedestrian at best.
I'm saying
he's never hit over 300.
When he steps up to the podium, at least he's got a World Series to be a little bit knowledgeable to tell people, hey, this is how it's got to be done. That's all I'm saying. I don't see
like
Hayward.
It or not, I don't know what it means, John, but like it or not, he does provide good leadership. I mean, that's obvious the way people respect him and talk.
He is saying that.
That's what I'm saying. But
well, okay. So, all right. Here's the thing, and Fish brought it up very eloquently earlier. It's one of our favorite catchphrases.
They hoisted the guy. I mean, for God's sake, they didn't hoist the. And you know what? I don't care. I really don't care.
Hey,
between Ross and Hayward,
we're tied for first. Everybody is right now. So. Hey, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. You got to pick a World Series winner next year. Who are you going to take?
I am not even going there.
Come on,
right,
who are you going to take?
I mean, this is a complete wrap up of the World Series and what the Cubs and I think for future shows coming up once a week, I think we should just hint around to it, and then and then we unleash here.
Yeah, well,
I think we ought to start talking about other teams on the off season. Every team we bring up one time.
Well, and that's kind of where I was kind of having some fun with you. The reality of it is, you can't underestimate the offseason anymore. I mean, it plays such a big role in what goes on in baseball across the board. The reality of it is, I don't know that the Cubs will sit tight here, and this is why I do believe they are poised to make a run here. Everybody talks about their starting pitching. Again, I'm gonna say, and this is where I'll leave the Cubs until we highlight them again. But the reality of it is, I'm anxious to see what Lester does without his catcher because, again, you can't sit here and argue with me that he doesn't have a mental thing going on because he does, okay? Arrieta, while at times is dominant, at times this year got lit up like a Christmas tree. So let's see what happens with him, although I take him for sure, all right? Now, Hendricks, in my opinion, is a guy that just finds a way out of trouble all the time. So we'll see. Sooner or later, we've come to see with Major League Baseball, that comes back to bite you. He is in an awful lot of trouble not to give up hardly any runs. Well, all right? Now, Lackey, I mean, come on, we're at the end of the road here, and Jason Hamill's not the answer. So they're not as solidified as everybody believes they are.
Oh, I believe they are.
Well,
first
we'll
off,
see.
You play devil's advocate on that because, first off, I think Arrieta's going to bounce back, and, you know, I'm kind of an Arrieta guy, but bounce back and have a great year. I mean, he had a great year last year. So sure. It's not like he didn't, but even
but that was
more
the first year.
Even no, I mean, the year before
he hasn't
was
been
good.
Very good.
He was a Cy Young the year before, wasn't he?
That's what, no. That's what
and
I'm
then
saying.
No. About,
okay, I see what you're
he
saying.
He had
I
a good year this year too. I'm saying last year, but yeah. This year. So Hendricks is a thinking man's pitcher. Unless he develops some kind of arm problem, he's going to be good for years because he don't have to.
That's
throw
the it. One I'll bet on.
He don't have to throw at 103 mile an hour.
That's
to
the
get
one I'll bet
out.
On. Won't be very good next year. That's the one I'll bet on.
Really?
Yeah.
That he won't be.
That he won't be. That's the one I'll bet on.
I think he will be because
I've never seen a guy in and out of trouble that much and not give up runs. Although I will say that's a quality, I guess. But let me tell you.
Well, hey,
that's
folks,
the guy I'll bet against.
Speaking of betting, let's do the.
You got your
Jono's
picks?
Yeah, I got Jono's picks here. I got.
Hey, listen, you're entitled.
Yeah.
Right. I just think you're entitled to continue to give picks.
All How right, did you yeah, last week?
You. I lost one.
Did finally
you
lost one.
You finally.
And that's what I was getting
lost
at.
One. I you know, it's about the end. Hey, what the hell? I can't walk on water.
Listen, here's the deal. The Cubs won. Okay, the devil can only provide so many miracles. Yeah. Okay?
It wasn't a miracle, John
said. The devil providing miracles. I don't know where he's going. But, hey, folks, I love Philadelphia going into New York Giants this weekend. Minus 2 for the Giants. I'll take the plus 2 on the road with Philadelphia any day here. I like Philadelphia. I like New Orleans minus 4 at Frisco. I think the score, they're going to light it up here. I love New Orleans on that one as well. And my other big play here on the road, I like the Buffalo Bills. I think they're going to have a hell of a defense here against Seattle. The line is minus 7 here for Seattle. I'm all over the points. I'm going to take the points, and I like Buffalo on the road on this one as well. Russell Wilson just does not have anything on running to the sides. I look for him to be contained, and Buffalo's defensive line is going to control it really well there. Those are my three plays. I like Buffalo, I like the Saints, and I like Philadelphia.
That's good. Hey,
and
listen,
all on the road again.
All on the road again. You're a master on the road. I leave you with this on Jake Arrieta, okay? He was down. His average strikeouts per walks was down half this year. Okay, he gave up almost twice as many runs as he did the 2 years he had that were really, really good. Okay, no doubt about it. Strikeouts, everything. Wild pitches up 16. Walks up. Okay, so was the last 2 years an anomaly, and he's just going to be a good pitcher, not great? I don't know. We'll find out. That's why you play the game.
And he wasn't good before, so you might have
That's my
there.
Point. That's
but
my point.
But you're basing, when you say these numbers are down, you're basing him on
two
Cy
great
Young
seasons. Sure.
Performance.
For sure. Absolutely.
So it's easy for a guy
that's
to
right.
come back the next year and be a little
that's
down
right.
from a for Cy sure. Young performance.
Well, and again, I'm asking who is
where,
he? Is
where
he,
do those numbers
right.
match up against the rest of the guys in the league?
Oh, well, listen, I'll tell you right now. I'll take his 18 wins all day long and twice on Sunday.
I tell you what, boys, we'll monitor this throughout the season, throughout the year. We're going to be here all year long, once a week,
yep.
and catch up all the great shows that we have at lineupmedia.fm. And as our people out there, Amazon, we got bleacherbumspodcast.com. And just scroll down there on your right-hand side. You'll see Amazon. Click on there. They got amazing sales right now before Black Friday. So you know what? Why don't you show us some love? If you love our show, go to our site at bleacherbumpodcast.com/Amazon, or you could go to our site at bleacherbumpodcast.com, and on your right-hand side, click away at Amazon and shop whatever your little heart desires, my friends.
Hey, I got to throw this in here, John. I talked to my wife. We are going to do all of our Christmas shopping this year exclusively through Amazon.
Well, do except it through ours. Some little, through, you right. got to go through our except site first. It doesn't help out the show. Yeah.
We're absolutely going
to
do it.
Good for you. Good for you, my friends. That's all we got.
Well, congratulations to the Cubs. Congratulations.
Can we leave it on that that song again?
Congratulations to our good friend Tor Herman. Have you talked to Tor?
Hey, since Brian, our call? Get that goddamn song on, the Cubs song. We want to hear that Cubs song.
Go,
again.
Cubs, go.
Hey, yeah. Seriously, have you
last
talked to Tor?
Time.
Hey, have you found Tor?
He called me up, and he said, you know, it was amazing. We still got Cubs fans. We partied there till about 4 a.m. It's been an unbelievable ride. God bless you guys. Cubs fans, you endured all these years, and I'm glad that 108-year-old woman got her thing. I think she might have voided the damn goat. I think that was the offset right there. And the Cubs fans, they deserve it. God bless them.
Well, let me tell you something. I can say without question that I couldn't have been happier for Tor. He was a great ambassador for Cub Nation and trying to paint a picture of what was really
Cubs going
on.
Coming on again.
So, hey, for Tor and all the Chicago Cub fans out there.
And the Chicago Cubs organization, you guys did it.
Hey, this is for you. This is for you. Hey, we'll see you next Friday.
You better get ready for a brand new day.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.